You may be seated. At this time, I would say that there's a handout sheet in the bulletin, but there's not. So things didn't go too good this week, and I apologize. So, but I'm here. And I guess I get one out of two, right? So I'm at 50%, right? So I didn't even give you scrap paper to write on, so. But what we have in the Gospels, and Steve sort of led on to it. He said last night after he heard that I might not be here, and he was reading the accounts. And so what I've done is I've put a little summary together to begin more or less as my introduction here. We have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus recorded for us in all four Gospels. It's not an isolated passage, but it is expounded over and over and over. Different details are explained or mentioned in each of the Gospels. As we focus today on the resurrection, I want us to see a summary of these events. So once again, it's going to be a summary that includes outside of Matthew 28. I would encourage you to go and take your Bibles and open them up sometime this week and just look it up in the four Gospels and read them and compare them. It's really interesting. Three women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, start for the sepulcher, followed by other women bearing spices. Now you have to realize that that's in addition to Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea just a little while earlier, which would be what we would say. We'd say he's in the grave 3 days, but it wasn't a constitute 72 hours. But when Jesus was taken down from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, he went ahead and went to Pilate and said, "I want the body of Christ." And so Nicodemus shows up and he has 100 pounds of aloe and spices and bandages to wrap the body of Christ. So this is an addition to that. These ladies are coming 3 days later. And I'm sure as they thought about it, what we read in Matthew is that there was a seal set on. It was rolled with a stone and there was a Roman seal. Now you might think that that's something that PP&L puts on your your meter, so that you don't cut your meter. It's not a piece of metal. It was actual people. So think about the awkwardness of these ladies showing up with a Roman guard possibly being there. Okay? So, as we read already, now, the three find the stone rolled away. It was rolled away by an angel. There was an earthquake, and the soldiers were terrified and became as dead men. Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James, draws near the tomb and sees the angel of the Lord. She goes back to meet the other women following with spices. Meanwhile, Peter and John, warned by Mary Magdalene, arrive. Look in. Peter enters the tomb and wonders. Of course, Peter went in first. John got there first and he looked in. But Peter went in first. John finally enters the tomb, and he believes. That's interesting, and that's what my message was on earlier this morning. And I may close out the message with some references to that, but I'm not sure. You say, don't you know what you're going to say? Absolutely not. You say, well, you're supposed to be the preacher. I know, and that's what's sad. So, Peter enters the tomb and wonders, and John believes right away, and they go to their homes. So Mary Magdalene returns weeping, sees the two angels and then Jesus, and goes, as he tells her, to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James, meanwhile, has met the women with the spices, and returning with them, they see the two angels. They also receive the angelic message, and going to seek the disciples are met by Jesus. And I want to encourage you, that's where we're going to stop. But that's, if you take all four gospel accounts, that is the sequence of events. But don't take it granted for me. Get your Bible, look them up, and read them. It's not a hard read. It's not like you're going to be reading for hours. Notice this as we begin. The stone was not rolled away to let the Lord Jesus out. He didn't have to wait, and God didn't say, I'm going to roll the stone away so my son can get out. The stone was rolled away. So if we would start with number one, that's what it would be. The stone was rolled away so that people could see, so that people could come, but to let them in. So number two would be this. What makes the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ so valuable? That's really what it comes down to, right? Here we are. This is Christianity's absolute biggest event, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might think it's the birth of Christ, but the birth of Christ has its own right. But when we come to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know I say this every year, and you probably don't even remember that I said it last year, it is the hinge upon which everything we believe hangs on. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it a little bit clearer in language. If you and I can go to a graveyard and open a tomb and see his body wrapped in the grave clothes and it's there, we're done. We ought to just disband. Because all we are is a social club. But, and Paul says that, we're going to look at that here in a minute. So, but what I want to do is I want to set the table here. What makes the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ so valuable? Other than just, we get together, ladies will go look at a new dress, we get candy for the kids, and we, you know, we remember all the songs that we sang as kids, you know, the Easter bonnet and all that, and so we do egg hunts and blah, 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 all of that. No. What makes it so valuable? Well, that's where our hope lies. Do you like that word hope? I like that word hope. I'll tell you what. For the last couple of weeks, when you're standing beside the bed of a friend or a loved one, and they're getting ready to, what we call today, pass out into eternity, you want to have something to hope for. You want to have a hope, but you want to have a steadfast hope. You don't want to have some kind of, a lot of times when people face death, they start to get really creative about stuff. But the Word of God is not silent concerning death because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes it all. Now, don't take my word for it. Now, you can say, well, you just take my word for it. We're going to pray and go home. You go home and say, boy, the pastor says the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is really what ought to move me to do something. And you go home and you think about it every day. You're going to do that for about a week. And you're going to say, what's he really talking about? Well, Peter and Paul wrote about it. And I chose to use those two men today. So if you got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. And you can almost guess who wrote 1 Peter, right? Yeah. Paul did and gave it to Peter and said, hey, you know, would you do that? No. And to tell you the truth, when you read Peter's epistles, you see so much about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ intertwined in his epistles, okay? And, of course, we know Peter. Peter got himself in trouble an awful lot of times, okay? He was the guy that if there was one of the disciples who then became the apostles, if there were any of them that opened their mouth and inserted their foot, it would be Peter. Okay? Just to be honest, a lot of times we hold these people up and they say, man, these are great people. And they are. They were used greatly of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the founders of the church. But here's the thing. They also, and that's what I like about the scriptures. The scripture lets us know where they really messed up. You know, we took on Friday and we talked about a little bit about the night that Christ was betrayed. And it was Peter that said, I would die for you. And then he slams all the other disciples and says, even though they all run away, not me, Lord. You only need one person in the crowd like that to really say, why don't you just shut up? Right? You know, it's just like, well, who are you? Well, Peter folded. Peter folded under the pressure. And he went out and wept bitterly. So anyways, let's get back to the message. So what we have in 1 Peter chapter 1, look what he says here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And you might say, well, what's he talking about there? And well, he's talking about a lively hope, or what I like to say, a living hope, right? That's what it says. A living hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, so what Peter does is he says, okay, what makes the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ so valuable? First of all, okay, it's because it gives you and me a living hope. Now, think about that for a minute. There's a lot of people offering hope out there, okay? How about this? You put your hope in the healthcare system, right? The medical community, that they're always going to have the answer, right? Well, let me ask you something. I don't want you to raise your hand today because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but have you ever been perplexed or dumbfounded that they can't figure out what's wrong? Yeah. Now, I'm a case study, you know, myself. I go in, they can't figure me out whatsoever. I understand that. But a lot of times, you know what we do? We put our hope in that medical community, that they're always going to have something groundbreaking, something that is going to, oh my, right? See, misplaced hope. Because you know what you find out? In the end, it's not a place to put your hope. How about this? How about putting our hope in economics? See, the only thing that I really ever need is just more money. Right? Right? Amen? See, I'm bucking for a raise here. So you guys got to say amen, right? See, because that's what the world thinks. You know, I wouldn't have the problems in my life if I just had more resources. And it's just like, I know. See, I preach this after the offering, just so that you know. No, you know why? People put their hope in a job. Yeah, yeah. Now, I think you ought to work, amen? See, I'm a preacher, so I don't work. I'm permanently retired. So, and I just draw a check for it. Hey, right, Gary? It's the best of both worlds, right, Gary? He's back there just smiling. He has his name in to be the pastor next, so he says it's good. Yeah. He's preaching next Sunday, by the way. I'm sorry, Gary. If you know Gary, he's going to get me, buddy. I'm done. So anyways, we put our hope in the medical system. We put our hope in finances. Watch this. We put our hope in the fact that we live in America. Do you ever hear people say, we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth? Listen, folks, I got one better. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen? I'll tell you what, that's where your hope ought to be. That's where your hope, because every one of those areas will leave you high and dry. High and dry every time. So anyways, that's the first thing, a living hope, okay? So what Peter's talking about, notice this living hope, and I like because he spells it right out. It's right here. Let me say it again, because a lot of times what we do is we say, well, that living hope's nice. No, a living hope. He gives us this living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all because of Christ's resurrection. That's where it stays. It's like, okay, so let me ask you this question. I think it's a valid question. When's the last time I considered that? I'm being serious now. We get up every day, right? Well, and you know, probably don't get up the time I do if you're working night shift, but we wake up every day sometime. We take care of our physical needs, right? We live our lives. We come home to our families, blah, 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 all that, right? And you know what can happen? Is we can just go on in, we can just go in autopilot. We just go through life and we show up at church and we say, oh, well, that's nice. But really, what is this going to do for my life when I walk out those doors? And I got to be right there with you. You and I, we go to our neighborhoods where we live, we are surrounded with people that are living the illusion of having their hope in all of these areas that I mentioned, and it's hollow. See, someone told us years ago, you know, we live in America, so you got to have the American dream. The American dream is you have a good job, you own your home, and you have a nice family, right? I'm looking at you. You're looking at me like I'm talking in a different language, right? Now watch this. How many of us have got that? Almost all of us do. And yet, time after time, you know what I hear people say? There's got to be something more. Because if you have your house, then you got to maintain it, right? You got a job, you got to work. Yeah. And you got a family. Well, I choked on that one, didn't I? you got a family, yeah. Right? See, I'm an actor, boy. I did that all. No, the Lord just brought that on me. It's just like, watch what you say about the family, Dave. I'm choking you. So, but watch this. Do you ever have any difficulties? Any challenges within the family structure? Come on now, amen? Now, you know, husbands, you should have said, oh, no, not me. I'm helping you, fellas. I'm trying to help you out here. I always try to do that. So anyways, we have this living hope. Now, what Peter also says this. Let's back up. Let's go to Titus, okay? Let's go to Titus. Okay. That's that little book right after 2 Timothy. It's tucked right in there. Now, this is Paul. And then we're going to move down over the list here a little bit. I don't have a long message, but I can make it long. So anyways, and I have a gift doing that. But Paul, he writes to Titus. And he talks again, too, in Titus chapter 2. And I want you to go to verse 13. Looking at what he says. Now, what did Peter say? He's begotten us unto a living hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? Now watch what Paul writes to Titus and says in verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who? Jesus Christ, okay? Yes. Okay, now I know it doesn't say the resurrection there, right? Because what happens? Well, that doesn't mention the resurrection. Well, when Christ arose from the dead, right? And when he met with his disciples and he ascended back to heaven. Do you remember that? Acts chapter 1. That's where it is. Acts chapter 1. All his disciples are standing there. And of course, Jesus is standing there. And they ask him an interesting question. Because they were still bent that Jesus was going to establish this earthly kingdom, deliver them from Roman rule. And then he says, they say, when are you going to establish this kingdom? Because we want to be a part of that. And then he ascends back up into heaven. And you know what? They're doing exactly what I would be doing. Yeah, there he goes. And then two angels appear. And they almost rebuke him. And says, why are you standing gazing? And then there's the promise. The promise that Jesus made in John chapter 14 is the same promise that the angels repeated, that Jesus is coming back in like manner. And so here's what we have. It's a lively hope or a living hope. It is a blessed hope. So we all have a hope that the world knows nothing about. And that hope is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, if we go back now, and I had you turn there, and I didn't tell you to keep your place. But First Peter goes on and he starts to explain that lively hope. What is that lively hope? Well, let's look at it. Verse 4 of 1 Peter 1. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's interesting. Now, for our brother Ken Goki today, that's a reality. That happened yesterday. That's fresh. He walked into the presence of God. He walked in to, now let's look at this. This living hope is considered an inheritance incorruptible. That means this, it can't be damaged. Did you ever get a new car? And you go to Walmart. Now what do you do when you get a new car and you go to Walmart? You hire 10 kids to stand around it while you're in there shopping, right? Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it when somebody dings your car and doesn't tell you? Maybe you ding cars and don't tell anybody. We're going to put that in the invitation today. But isn't that incredible? Everything that we have immediately begins to deteriorate. Everything. I remember when I first bought my house, I bought it off my dad because it was the homestead. And I hired a guy and he put a 200-amp service in for me. And I went down, I would go down and visit my mom and dad. They lived on Peach Orchard Road and just, we'd chat and dad asked me how things were going. I said, yeah, I'm having a guy come and going to update the electric service. He says, well, Davey, that was new. It was new. The guy signed the box. It was new in 1958. Yeah, 60-amp service. That was before you ever had a hairdryer. You know, you turned the hairdryer on and the light, and you went down and had to flip the switch every time, right? Why? Because we understand that stuff immediately begins to be damaged, deteriorate. So our inheritance cannot be damaged. It cannot be stained. Oh, I'll tell you what. I love getting older. You young folks, you can ignore everything I just said, but one of these days it'll be a reality, okay? I don't have a shirt that I don't get something on. And I never thought that would ever happen to me. People are starting to say to me, I'm going to get you a bib. And they want to get me the big plastic ones with the pocket around here. Okay? Right? Oh, yeah. I'll get something new. I bought a new sweatshirt because I like sweatshirts. First thing I do, I ought to just go buy a pizza and just put it all over me because that's what's going to happen. But now watch this. I don't even know it. Till after I'm done eating. Now look, where did that come from? Now I know what you're going to do today. You're going to say, let me see that shirt. So, this one here is pretty good. So, oh yeah. Right? That happens as you get older. Okay? Now here's another thing about this incorruptible inheritance. It'll never lose its value. Look at this. Fadeth not away. Boy, can you think back to things that you held in your hand that were so valuable, and now they just, we replace them after a while, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. And then what I like, what Peter says here, he's talking about this living hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's reserved in heaven for you. Wow. That means this. It's guarded by God. The word reserved means it's guarded. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are taking care of it for us. No better safekeeping than that. Isn't that something? Wow. So we have this living hope. We have this blessed hope. Now, I want you to go to the book of Romans, if you would. I'm going to turn around here a little bit. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. The book of Romans. Now, a lot of times what we do is we'll do the plan of salvation and we'll take people what we call the Romans road. I want you to go to look at Romans chapter 10. And Paul is now writing. We looked at Peter. Peter said we have this living hope. Paul writes to Timothy, to Titus, and says, you have a blessed hope. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and when we come to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, where he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Wow. Did you ever take notice to that? Paul is citing that when a person wants to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and take his sacrifice and make it real in their life, that they must believe that God raised him from the dead. Because that's what it's all about. I wonder how many times I've read that and I've used that explaining God's plan of salvation to people and never realized just how important the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Well, what is it? Thou shalt be saved. Wow. You know, a lot of times people say to me, Pastor, how do I get right with God? When you talk to people who don't know anything about God and you take them to the scriptures and, well, you know, you can tell people, well, just live a better life. Well, that won't do anything. Well, you got to turn over a new leaf in life. No, no. What is it? Realize that Jesus came because you and I are hopeless and helpless in and of our own selves, and that the reason that he can be the Savior is because, Paul writes, he said, you shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Isn't that incredible? Now, here's the thing. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Dave? That means this is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just something that we celebrate every year and say, this is really important. So we walk away going, boy, this is really important. Well, why is it important? It's important because that's the only place you can put your hope. And so my last point is this. Is the resurrection is the fact, yet it will do nothing for you and me if I don't appropriate Christ as my Savior. That's the whole thing. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out I think they had like seven sayings, but he said, one thing he said was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Of course, we know from Good Friday, as we read it, you know, you have the sky grows black, darkness covers the land for 3 hours, the earthquakes, and Jesus says, it is finished, and he yields up his spirit. And the veil of the temple is torn, very symbolic. You and I can have a relationship with God. Now, all that took place. But you do realize. Now, once again, I'm going to go back to one of my opening remarks. If the grave is still full, if Jesus is still here, wrapped in those grave clothes, the sacrifice wasn't accepted. And we have to look for another Savior. As a matter of fact, why don't you turn now to 1 Corinthians 15, because that's exactly what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15. Almost left this part out. Isn't that something? Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is considered the resurrection chapter of all the scriptures. Here's now Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Okay, we looked at Peter. We're looking at Paul. Revelation. Woo! 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Doesn't stop there, does it? Look at the next verse. And that he was buried. Doesn't stop there. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he goes down over and he talks about the main proofs of the resurrection. Now, let's go to verse 12. And this is what I was alluding to. That's why I remembered it. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. I want to pause there a minute. I wonder how many churches today are full of people that their faith is vain. Think about that. You say, well, what? Well, I'm here. Well, yeah, but where, how, what am I looking for? Do I value the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what he's saying. Now watch this. Okay? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Boy, if he stops there, let's just pack it in, folks. Let's just go home. Eat, drink, and be merry. Right? But look at the next verse. This is what I love, okay? But now is Christ risen from the dead. Now watch this. How exclusive is this? And become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one. He's the first one. That's it. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And so I'll stop there. But if you go to the end of this, you know what he says? At the end of 1 Corinthians 15, where he's talking about the resurrection. Well, let me sum this up first, okay? He says this, if we do not value the resurrection, okay, we're to be pitied. Do you see a world around us? You know, a lot of times we see the world around us and we don't feel sorry for them at all. We just think they're in our way. They're making our life miserable. Right? Road rage instances are up. I mean, I don't even beat my horn at people behind a red light because I'm afraid someone will back into my vehicle and blow the airbags. I just sit there and just think, we can't sit here for 10 minutes. Right? Because our world is increasingly angry. But will we see the world as walking around with no hope? The hope that they have, once again, is in the medical community, in their economic situation, right? Yeah, in their families. And all of that doesn't cut it. Paul said, if our hope is not in Christ, we are to be pitied. I wonder, do we pity the world around us? Or maybe, am I in the same crowd? Think about that. So anyways, the resurrection is a fact, yet it will do nothing for you if you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want to close with this today. I got a page of notes, but I'm done. And it's really just one question. One question. Is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ your hope today? That's what it comes down to. As we celebrate this wonderful day. Ladies, the songs are just incredible, aren't they? Jade, your song was right on. And you know, as I said in the early service, as John looked into that tomb and he saw the position of literally the napkin that laid on the Lord Jesus Christ's face after he was risen, that napkin did not lay on the floor. That napkin was not crumbled up. That napkin was folded and put off to the side. Now, Jewish tradition that John would have understood knew that the master of the house, when he was done eating at the table, if he was done, he just threw the napkin on the table, wiped his mouth, and threw it on the table. But if he wasn't done, and he was getting up from the table to take care of something else to return to the table, he folded it neatly and set it beside. And just the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection folded the napkin and laid it to the side. John immediately saw that as he is coming back because he's not done.
That's incredible, folks. See, this is our hope. The world around you will tear you down every day because they don't live with this hope and they don't want you to live with hope. But you know what? Here's the thing. Do you have that hope today? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, no better Sunday to hear the gospel than to hear that Christ came to be the Savior of the world and He wants to be your Savior. Amen? What a great message. And you know what? I thank God for when I was 19 years old and sat in that revival service and God opened my heart to receive the word and I heard that Jesus died for me and that I could trust Him as my Savior. And I trust you know Him as your Savior. If you don't, you have the opportunity today. Let's pray. Father.